Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, Natalie Torres-Haddad. She will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy.
Savvy in 20 minutes, and I'm actually doing this today from PodFest 2020 in Orlando. And guess, and lo and behold, if you're watching this online, I have here Joel from the famous Stacking Benjamins. And I actually sat in both of his sessions. I recommend if you're going to invest in your time and education to going conferences, make sure you figure out who's speaking, who you really want to go and see. And I have to say, the two that I sat in for you made the whole conference.
Really?
And I'm not saying that just because I have you on this, but I really did. I walked away with so many nuggets, but I'd rather hear you talk about maybe the two things. But first, before we get started, I have to ask you the question I ask everyone. Do you remember the first time that you got paid? It wasn't necessarily 9 to 5, but made you think differently about money and think, I can make more instead of that, just that per hour.
Yeah, because my first 9 to 5 was working at a place called the Tasty Freeze.
Yes,
I was making cones. But not 9 to 5, So this is kind of a funny story. My dad was drunk at my cousin's wedding, and the DJ was really bad at the party. And he said, I think my boys can do a better job as DJs. So he made us write up a business plan, and we had to give him everything, marketing, the equipment. We had to research it all. I was 16. My brother was 14. And so we presented the business plan. He gave us a loan, charged interest to us.
Smart dad.
So I remember doing our first gig, and we absolutely sucked, but I think I got paid $150.
Wow.
And I remember looking at that and going, okay.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I've always wanted to stay an entrepreneur.
And $150, how long would have that made you, how long would it take you to make that at that age?
At the Tasty Freeze?
Yeah.
Right. I think I was making like $5 an hour, $6.
So you know, if you're watching this, yeah, exactly. So it's like, you could do that on one night of DJing.
Right?
You're like,
bam.
I sucked at it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
so that makes sense. You always had the niche to be able to talk and entertain people. Cause I mean, that's how I always feel when I listen to your podcast. Like, I'm not only learning something about money, but it's always funny. So, today your two sessions were very different, but they completely are part of your brand and what you do. The first one was, I love the title. Why don't you say it? Because it was right on.
I didn't remember what our title was.
We do it live.
We do it live. Yes, We do it live.
So funny. And you guys just had it as a table format, right? So
yes.
Really easygoing. And I think my biggest takeaway from that was you gave us a checklist of the 10 things of what not to do and what to do.
Yeah, if you do a live event. Yes.
Yeah, so for you, you told us some funny stories in there, but what one particular funny story turned out, you might have thought was a mess, but it worked out. It played well for what you were doing.
I thought man, there were so many messes. The fact that we got to do it at a comedy club kind of was an error at first. I didn't know where we were going to have it. I worried about the fact that I didn't want to go into equipment. I didn't want to get all the stuff for it. So
right.
I said, where can we have it? Well, then I thought, at first I thought it'd be funny and on brand, because we always go with funny. I thought it would be really funny and on brand to do it at like a dive bar punk, like a punk rock
nice.
Club.
Not your traditional stuff. I love
that. No, wanted to do that because we, you know, I mean, I look like a punk badass, you know, I don't know if you know it, but in my head, I am. And so
watch it. Can you see who I'm talking about?
That's right. So we, but then we realized it might be good for our brand, but they would not have us because it's not good for their brand. So I'm like, okay, the punk rock bar probably won't have a 52-year-old dude doing bad dad jokes. But who would do that would be a comedy club.
Right.
So I called different comedy clubs, and I realized I hated that. So it was a big mess trying to figure it out. The way I solved it was I realized there's national comedy clubs. And the improv.
Yes.
Is a national comedy club chain. So we ended up making one call to the improv and solved the whole thing. And I don't know if you want me to tell that story, but
if you don't mind, because I think that was like, you just saved me basically $3,000 for what you just
yes.
did. So please tell us that story for
yes.
those that are listening. And even if you're not a podcaster, but you want to do a live event.
When you do live events, think of synergy, right? So what I did was I looked at the calendar and I saw that comedy clubs are open on Tuesday, but they don't ever have an act on Tuesday. So I call up the improv and I said, hey, we'd like to do our show at your comedy club, at three of them across the country. And the guy on the line said, well, our room rate is $3,000. And so you can buy the room. And then I've had 52 years experience playing dumb and acting. And acting dumb. And so I went, oh, is that what you do with all the comedians? I didn't know they paid. And the guy goes, oh, you're a comedian. And I said, yeah, not completely true, but I said, yes, absolutely. It's a comedy show that's on finance. And the guy goes, oh, yeah, no, we don't do that. We sell tickets and then we split the revenue with you. How many people do you think you're going to bring? And in my head, I thought 4. But out loud, I said 100. And I had no idea how we were going to get 100 people there. But now I had this mission and this goal. And then he said, so how much do you charge for this? And I asked him, what's the minimum? Because I didn't know if anybody would want to pay to see us. And he goes, well, it's 10 bucks, but 4 of it goes to like Ticketmaster. So it'll be 6 and we'll split that with you. So now instead of paying $3,000, I'm splitting tickets.
You're putting money in your pocket.
I'm putting $300 in my pocket, which actually we didn't do. Uh-huh. We got a sponsor to help us tour the country. And our sponsor wanted a segment of the show. And on their segment of the show, they took a local charity and talked about them. So every show we gave the $300 to the charity.
I love that. And you know what? I said 3,000 because of the venue. But truthfully, I think because you just said, if you have extra money that you're getting revenues, you could use it towards PR, towards marketing.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, easily someone can save for it. And it made me think of Kevin Hart, how he says when the second like live show that he did, he wanted to make it like a concert style, not your traditional stand out in front of the crowd. He had fire, he had music. And I'm like, that's how I feel about financial literacy. I want to make it fun.
I know.
And the fact that you did it at a comedy, I was like, Joel is bringing me exactly what the universe has been telling me. So I love that tip.
So we'll see Natalie at comedy clubs.
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
That's good.
You might see me, and hopefully I can get you at one of them. Because he's hilarious. You got to listen to his podcast. And then the second thing I learned from the second session, well, I learned a lot in the first. The second one I love because, one, I've been wanting to meet Bobby, so it was cool to see her live with you.
Yes. And then she's shorter than you ever thought she was.
She's so cute.
She?
Well, next to you, everyone's short, too.
That's a good point.
You mentioned it was a pivoting, talking about pivots that you've had through how many years of podcasting now?
Yeah, so I've been podcasting for 9, and this was specifically about this new show that we have, Money with Friends. But
the logo's so cool.
We pivoted 5 times with this show before we finally found traction. Like, we were getting nowhere, and we just had to keep listening to our audience.
Yeah.
And that's not a podcasting thing. I think that's anything.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not good at your job, go, don't wait for somebody to train you. Listen and go find the right teachers for whatever that thing is.
Okay, so that was something that I was in the last row because I came in right when this started, and hearing you say how you both were getting different reviews because you had your own audience that you were bringing. Collaboration is so key and so smart that you did that, both of you. Not just from your perspective about money, but her being a woman, you being a man. And you talked about the difficulties that she had dealing with haters. And for me, I was like, that's so helpful because we all think, well, haters are either going to make us want to quit. But in fact, you guys said you used that. And so tell us a little more how you use that to help create.
So when people gave us negative feedback, we just took the snark out of it because some people weren't trying to give us feedback. They're just trying to be nasty. Mm-hmm. They were like, I hate Joe. I hate Bobby. And sadly, Bobby got a lot of feedback as a woman that I've never, Stacky Benjamins is two guys.
I know firsthand. Yeah.
As two guys, my co-host on Stacky Benjamins and I never got the feedback that Bobby got. And it was so disgusting.
And it's common amongst women. And half the time we're just like, why? It has nothing to do with our content. It's usually all other stuff.
And you can tell from the name of the person giving their review, they were all men. These are men hating on women.
Yep.
And it was horrible. But anyway, that's a whole different show.
Right.
For this one, what the heck were you talking about?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. So you took the snark out of it.
Yes.
You learned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. We took the snark out of it and we just said, what can we learn from this? Like, as an example, somebody said, I don't like it when Joe's solo. I don't like it when Bobby's solo. Cause we did some solo. We did some together. I like it when they're together. I like the banter back and forth. And suddenly, I mean, we took that. We knew it was just one person, but then we surveyed our bigger audience and just asked them. do you think this is valid? And they all said, yes, we like it better when you're together, which created another problem. Neither one of us had time to do the show together all the time,
right,
which meant we had to figure out how to have guests on the show without being in booking, you know, without having a constant flow of guests, which is hard to get, as you know.
Absolutely.
It's always hard to book people. So we ended up with this idea of having seasons, and we would have 8 guests, but they would be recurring guests for a 4-month period.
Smart.
And so for them, they only had to commit to us 1 hour a month for 4 months.
I love that.
And for us, we ended up getting different people that we could banter with because people told us they liked that. And it solved a big problem for the show and ended up being a much better show.
And you're saving a lot of time as far as, because when you have to prep every new guest, it's like so much work. And the fact that this person's already done it once and they're going to do it 4 times, that's so much time saved. And you already know what to expect, you know, even if it's a different perspective. So I love that. And so I'm going to start committing it. I'm learning something right now.
Yeah. The first month was horrible. Because you're prepping every single show I'm doing, I'm prepping.
You're creating the template too, right?
That's true.
Whole system.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been cool. I've been watching you I started listening to your podcast years ago, and then to see the changes and different pivotals. And I remember, and this is why I love taking pictures of moments that you just don't know. Being on your podcast, it was all audio, right?
Yes.
But I took a picture of it because you asked me, are you doing anything cool coming up? And at this moment, you're in Texarkana, I think, right? And I said, actually, I hadn't done my first TEDx talk in Iowa.
That's right.
And it was not even a month away. I had just gotten a notification months prior, and then it was a month away.
Because then I saw you at FinCon after that and asked you how it was.
And it was a year later. And now it's been technically 2 years.
Oh,
so. So the transition and what my point is, it's kind of a thank you here, and I wasn't planning to do this, but the fact that that kind of stuff, kind of, you see how podcasters like you have been doing it for so long, and for people that are newbies like me, I'm only doing it for now 3 years, but it's still like, there's so much to learn, but seeing how you're always willing to reshape, rethink of something new, be challenged, and you laugh at a lot of the stuff that goes wrong. And I love that, because then I'm like, why am I so hard on myself? If he thinks that was a learning experience, I should too. And I think that's what a lot of us need to hear sometimes when we're still in it. Like, I still don't know what I'm doing. When people ask me all these technical terms, I'm like, you're asking the wrong person. So thank you for that. And I'll have to, please listen to HID podcast, that interview with us. It's hilarious because I think back, I'm like, wow, where I was then to where I am now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's credited to people like podcasters and other people that are mentors and they're collaborating and helpful. And the way you and Bobby are doing that now with the whole new podcast, and having these different perspectives, I think that's something that allows people to see I can continue to branch out and do new things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So before we end, hopefully people can see your sessions too, because I want to rewatch, because I'm like, the fact that I learned so much, I'm sure there's more I could learn. Can you give us maybe 1 or 2 resources, your favorite books or something that doesn't necessarily have to be around money, but obviously has helped you around your business?
Yeah, so there's a couple books that I come back to all the time when I need inspiration, which is all the time. I mean, we're all creative people. And even if you don't think you're creative, you're always trying to bring something to life, whether it's, you know, being better at making ice cream cones when I was a kid or whatever. I love a guy named Austin Kleon. He's got a great book called Steal Like an Artist.
Oh, I love the title.
And he talks about how, you know, artists don't create great works by themselves. It's on the backs of inspiration. So, and he does a good job of talking about the difference between ripping somebody off and being inspired by it and doing something, making it uniquely you, paying homage to it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a Stacking Benjamin show and Money with Friends, but Stacking Benjamin show, when we first created that, the inspiration was car talk, where you're not learning anything about cars. You're just having fun in car culture. We have this hidden track at the end of our show. That's from an Xbox podcast called Major Nelson. The idea of being in my mom's basement doing the show from my mom's
that's
basement.
That's my favorite part.
That comes from an XM kids show called Absolutely Mindy.
Oh,
this woman, Mindy, is grounded and she's in her bedroom and she uses a hairbrush for a microphone and has a radio show.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That's a cool new concept. And that's what always cracks me up. The first couple times I'm like, did he just say from his mom's basement? I love it. Yeah.
So anyway, we quote ripped off all these things. But if I didn't tell you that's where it came from, we've made it uniquely ours. So
yes.
I love Steal Like an Artist. And I also like Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Excellent book. Yeah.
I always come back to, and listeners of our show hear me say this all the time, begin with the end in mind, you know?
That's the first book my mom gave me to read when I just started college and business was my major. I just declared it. And she was like, read this book. And it's been, you just said it, it's those seven habits that really do change.
But I don't know about for you, Natalie, for me, when I first read it, I'm like, yeah, it's okay.
It was hard. It was dense for me. So I was like, what?
Yeah.
What is, yeah. But
it's funny. I keep coming back to those principles. Same. When you pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other, sharpen the saw all the time. Yep. Think about sharpening your saw. Begin with the end in mind. Like it's funny.
It's a goodie, but a classic, right? Or old classic, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but it's weird how often I quote this book. And when I first read it, I was like, yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that'd be another one.
I love it. So I think I'm going to have you on anyways, but thank you for doing it by video. Not everyone's always open to do that. And as you've heard a bunch of noise in the background, it's because they were literally moving stuff out from an event. So that's not our fault. That's the hotel's fault. But
that's the fun of it.
We have this cool space. It's not your traditional studio, but that's the cool thing about traveling. And, you know, we got to speak at the same conference, yo. So
I know.
If you're listening or watching, the fact that I admire as a mentor, I think you're awesome, what you've been doing.
I don't get to see you enough.
I know you, oh, thank you. And you didn't get to see me speak the first day. I didn't get to speak as long as you did. But the fact that that also now helps my credibility, I could be like, oh my gosh, it's the same conference. It allows open space to all these people that most likely you're not seeing. Or I love like the theme this year was your voice matters.
Yes.
And I think for people of color, women, particularly
yes.
immigrants,
yes.
First generation, I hit all those. I think that's so cool to be like, he's doing this. I can figure it out somehow. And you just said, I'm picking little things that I know I can apply. So thank you for your work. I look forward to hearing what your next 9 years will look like. He's like, how long have I been doing this?
I'm going to try to keep up with her.
Oh, you're so awesome. How can people connect with you? Obviously, I've been plugging the podcast, not purposely,
yes.
but it's just one of my favorite ones out there.
You find us at Money with Friends or at Stacky Benjamin's. Stacky Benjamin's is Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Money with Friends is a much shorter show, and that is Monday through Saturday.
That's cool. It's all about short content. So stick tuned, and maybe I can get him to do a Spanish version. We'll talk about the, how we can do that happen.
We do that on our show.
See, we
teach Spanish.
You got to add that in there. Oh, perfect. So I'm going to have him for the Spanish Financially Savvy in 20 minutes. But have fun, be fabulous, and frugal until the next one. Bye.
To learn more about the podcast, check out financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. For more interviews, make sure you look up Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes on YouTube and Instagram TV. To hire the Trailblazer, as Forbes featured her the financial and mental health advocate for your next workshop or speaking engagement, follow Natalie at Financially Savvy Latina on all social platforms. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.